Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for January 15th, 2023 is based on John, the first chapter, verses 29 through 42. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is Pointing to Jesus. A reading from John in the first chapter. An introduction. John the Baptist's witness to Jesus initiates a chain of testimony as his disciples begin to share with others what they have found. A reading from John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.' The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, 'Look, here is the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, 'What are you looking for?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which translates anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas,' which is translated Peter." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, as we heard in 1 Corinthians, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel reading comes from the book of John. Now, if you've been around church for a while in your life, or if you've read through the four gospels that are in the beginning of the New Testament, you may have realized that the gospel of John is written very differently than the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are sometimes lumped together under the title synoptic gospels. Why are they lumped together under that title? Well, because as they tell the story of Jesus, they include many of the same stories, often in a similar sequence and in similar or sometimes identical wording. You will find things in Matthew that will also be in Luke, and things in Mark that will be in Matthew, and there's a lot of overlap there. The Gospel of John, though, is kind of like the strange uncle in the gospel family. There's definitely a familial connection. You can see it there, but the way he goes about doing things is a little out there compared to the rest. In the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we hear the story about John the Baptist, right? And he is baptizing Jesus in the Jordan River. We get a glimpse of the action. We see the Holy Spirit coming down to rest on Jesus, and it shows us that Jesus has God's favor. But the Gospel of John goes about telling the story in a very different way. We don't actually experience the baptism because the action itself isn't important to John, the gospel writer. It's what the baptism means that is important to John. Throughout his gospel, John's main focus is telling people the implications for Jesus being the Son of God. John makes many more claims about who Jesus is and why this is important to humanity. Notice how our story starts out today. We don't get to see John baptizing Jesus in the river. Instead, we get his testimony to others about what the baptism meant and what was revealed to him in that moment. He isn't retelling some epic story to his disciples and friends to get them to think he's cool. Instead, he is telling people what that moment means for them in their lives. John the Baptist proclaims, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that may not seem like a very important statement or impactful statement to us who have the benefit of knowing the full story of Jesus from his life, his death, and his resurrection. But for these words, here's the Lamb of God to be uttered before the crucifixion and before the resurrection have some pretty serious theological implications. What would the phrase Lamb of God mean to someone 2,000 years ago? First, we need to understand what the Jewish people believed about their relationship to God. All throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament, we hear about how the Jewish people are always seeking to be in right relationship with God. They want to be on God's good side. And they do their best to follow the laws and the commandments given to them by God so that they can honor God and be in right relationship. But like all human beings, us included, they end up falling short and breaking that relationship. In order to get back into God's good graces, God has set up a system of sacrifices. Depending on the severity of your offense, the priests would command you to offer a certain sacrifice upon the temple altar in order to appease God and bring about his forgiveness. The more severe your offense, you maybe have to have a goat or a lamb. If it's something small, maybe it's just a dove. And not just any sacrifice would do. You needed to offer a perfect and unblemished sacrifice on the altar. You couldn't get away with just sacrificing the sickly lamb of your flock who was going to pass away this week anyway. You need to offer the best you had because that is what a perfect God deserves. And since humanity always seemed to be falling short all throughout those thousands of pages of the Old Testament, there was never a shortage of sacrifices needing to be made in order to make people holy once again. That's the framework for John the Baptist calling Jesus the Lamb of God. In these three simple words, Lamb of God, he is making some serious assertions. He is saying that, one, Jesus is pure and unblemished. He is not prone to the same selfish desires that cause us to break God's commandments. Two, he's also saying that Jesus' life will be given in order to bring us into right relationship with God. His life will be used to bring us closer to God. Will that be through his teachings and/or Jesus' eventual death? We don't know what John was thinking. But John the Baptist had already been going against the societal grain, and I think he realized that Jesus is about to take that to a whole new level. And John the Baptist could have kept all of this knowledge to himself. He could have tucked it away in hopes that he wouldn't get all caught up in Jesus's controversial teachings. He could have worried solely about himself and his own head, which was eventually cut off. But instead, he wants to point others to the Lamb of God who will show us the way of God. His focus is not on amplifying his action in the story, what he did. It's not trying to ride the coattails of Jesus for wealth and fame. Rather, all he wants to do is point people to the work that God is doing in Jesus. Ultimately, isn't that what we strive to do as well as Christians? Don't we want to point to Jesus in our words and deeds? Because it's not about what we are actually doing. It's about what God is doing through us. If we really believe that God has shown us a better way to live through Jesus, why wouldn't we want to share that with others? If we believe that Jesus has shown us how God will continue to be with us even when we try to nail him to a tree and kill him, wouldn't we want to share that news? If we believe that Jesus rose from the dead and promised new life to all of God's creation, shouldn't we want to share that good news with everyone? Jesus, the Lamb of God, has freed us from trying to earn right relationship with God. He was the final sacrifice. And we are now freed to live out Jesus' teachings, not out of fear of condemnation, but out of a heart of thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. That news is hopefully a weight and a burden lifted off of our shoulders. Don't we want that for others as well? So how might we be more like John the Baptist in the story, and how might we be more like John the gospel writer? How can we point people to the good news of Jesus like John the Baptist did? How can we tell others what Jesus has meant and means to us in our lives like John the gospel writer did? Even if you don't have this extensive religious training or deep theological knowledge like the gospel writer and John the Baptist did, it's okay. Because each and every one of us, in our own unique gifting and life experience, has the ability to share the good news of Jesus, to point to Jesus and what's going on in the world around us, and to share that love and good news with others. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.